Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com, the author of the upcoming Prayer Prescription Series and the host of the show. My guest today is Astrology's Astrologer, a.k.a. Sheila Odette. She will be talking about the charts of Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, and also she will be taking your calls. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is dear Sheila. Hello, Sheila.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay. I just heard a man's voice come through there. I don't know.
Yes,
well, this is an auspicious day.
Yeah.
September
the
11th. Well,
yes,
September the 11th and
always,
2001. And it's really, you know, the chart of that means, you know, Jupiter is laying on top of the Saturn of that day. It's really interesting to me that, you know, the lights, the two lights, this Jupiterian and the Saturn in Gemini, is that the two lights are there symbolic now. I was sent on Facebook those two lights, you know, that are in the sky right now.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Oh, my God.
Yeah, just really incredibly beautiful. So I think we should just take one moment of silence and for those, you know, the 3,000 people that, angels that were created that day, you know. So I'm going to just take one moment, okay?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
Okay, and then we can come back with Mitt Romney. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if I did not know that this man was running for president, if I did not have a name on this chart, I would never want this man in any kind of charge over me, you know. He has the Sun in Pisces, Mars in Mercury in Pisces, and then the big thing is the Jupiter-Moon conjunction on top of each other. They're not separate. It's a 20 out of 360 degrees in the zodiac. They're on top of each other. There is really, and that's in an intercepted house. If the 9:51 a.m. Chart is right, and usually when you get a chart like 9:51, it is right, you know, because off, it's not 9:50 and it's not, that's in an intercepted house. And an intercepted house goes with a play within a play within a play. So what we are not seeing is the Scorpio play that's playing underneath all this. So basically, I think, and it's all water. I mean, Jupiter, Moon, and Scorpio, Sun in Pisces, Mercury, and Mars in Pisces, all of that. The air sign he has is Venus in Aquarius, which is not a... Venus in Aquarius is not a real loving thing. Venus in Aquarius loves the rules, the out of, you know, individualistic rules, you know, off the wall rules. So that basically is, and when you have a Saturn-Pluto conjunction down here too, with Saturn applying, there is a deep Mormon thing here. I mean, there is a deep Mormon thing here that he's put up to really turn this country into a Mormon country. And I would, and I mean, you know, Joseph Smith, he was not a great guy, you know. Was it 110 settlers that came from Arkansas that he had killed? I mean, he's not, you know. Oh, we're going to get calls. I'm going to shut up. Right now,
it's funny. The whole Mormon thing is not something people are comfortable talking about. But in the end, it could be that it is an obstacle to people's ability to vote for Romney. I mean, to me, it would be a lot of other reasons, but that is something that people may choose as their reason not to vote for him, just based on the history of the church in this country and such.
Yeah. Well, I'm just choosing not to vote for him because of the hairdo. But I'm sorry, that was just a light note. Okay. But his moon right now for 7 months has been in Aries with Uranus right on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, when he goes to the foreign country, that's where the explosions are coming out of his mouth, you know, that you just go, shut up. Oh, you know, don't say that. And it's already out there. It's,
he gets
in front of an audience, and then this, you know, this thing explodes out of his mouth. And I'm sure that his handlers back there are going, oh, my God, no, you know. And then his progression, of course, his progression has progressed into Taurus, to 25 degrees of Taurus. So that 25 degrees of Taurus sun in the 12th house, of course, is in the intercepted house across from Jupiter moon, you know. Next year it'll be a 26, and the year after that it'll be a 27. It'll be right across from this Jupiter moon in Scorpio. I mean, if he gets an idea in his head, a fixed idea about some kind of war or something, there's nothing that's going to deter it. So, you know, just astrologically, I would be a little weary of him. Now, Barack, of course, his sun changed signs into Libra, which didn't help him at all. Also, it's interesting, he's running against this guy, and his progressed moon is in Aries. So their moons are on top of each other in this war.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and Aries, very, very explosive. Very explosive. But this progressed sun in Libra, which of course Saturn is in Libra right now. But his sun is only at 1 degree of Libra. So, you know, he's in a whole new environment for a year. You know, he was born a Leo, and then his progression went into Virgo, which is really hard for Leos, I will tell you, because the Virgo environment for a Leo is very critical. The Leo goes, let's just go on and let's do the show, and somebody will go in the back row, well, you said this was the mathematics on this problem in astrology, and you go, shut up. I'm not there, you know. But that's what happens. So you always ask how many Virgos are in the room, because they take the Leo down sometimes. But now it progressed into Libra, which means when it progresses into Libra, then he's wobbling between two signs, the Leo sign and the Virgo sign, until he adjusts to the environment. So, and that Libra sun, of course, is in opposition to the moon in Aries. So he has a lot of people really pissed off in the environment. So
his speech, a lot of people thought his speech was a little anemic at the convention.
Well, I much preferred Clinton's than hers. I mean, I thought she was great. I'd vote for her.
Oh, Michelle was wonderful,
Michelle was wonderful. And Clinton is a showman, you know. Well, we got another Leo, okay? But
we have a tremendous closeness between the president and the vice president. I thought we've never seen that before, where there's so much respect between the two people and that their families, they love each other. It's really unusual.
And you cannot count love out, because love never gives up.
No.
And love never loses faith. And love, you know, love hurts, but it's worth it, as Joanna would always say. You know, and when you see Obama with his wife and the tickling and the teasing, and Biden with his wife, all of that is really quite beautiful. to look at.
Yeah, it's true. It seems very authentic. And I thought that that was the most unusual thing I saw anywhere, mm-hmm. at any convention or within any political display within the, you know, my whole life. So I enjoyed that. I thought it was truly touching.
Where, you know, I pitied Mitt Romney's wife because basically she's not a speaker. And basically, mm-hmm. if you're in the theater, as I was, she was looking at one monitor, the other monitor, the other monitor. She never wiped a smile off her face. She held the same look, that same smile, that same rapport where, you know, you couldn't relax when you listened to her. And you didn't know why you couldn't relax. You didn't know why you couldn't relax. Well, you couldn't relax because, you know, if she's out on the campaign road for a while now, if you hear her speak, she'll change because she'll get used to speaking. But being thrown into that auditorium there with all of that and all the television cameras and all of this stuff, I thought, oh my God, woman, you're so out of your element. And the basic thing is her eyes, you can see them drifting from monitor to monitor to monitor, and then she's saying loving things, and you're going, well, you're reading that.
Well, what about Paul Ryan?
I didn't do his chart. I haven't done his. You mean the puppy dog?
Yeah, that would be him.
He looks
yeah.
like Eeyore. I'm sorry, but he does look like Eeyore to me. But I didn't do his. And the other person is that Andy Murray won the U.S. Open, and it's the first British man that's won an Open in 76 years.
Oh,
it took 5 hours. It took 5 hours, and which was unbelievable. He could hardly hold the trophy up.
Mm-hmm,
but,
mm-hmm.
you know, you go back and you look at the progressions, and you see for the fact that he had the moon Pluto in Scorpio progression. Which means that progression, again, he won the Olympics too. That progression, that is the whole thing. When you go back to Romney and see he has it in his basic makeup, you know, that Jupiter moon in Scorpio energy, that is powerful energy. That is powerful, powerful energy. And the tenacity of Murray, because he's a Taurus. The tenacity of nobody in England. They've kept trying and trying and trying. And finally, this boy did it. It took him 5 hours with Djokovic, but he did it. As for Serena, she is just a warrior woman, I mean.
Yeah,
but look
yeah.
at this. Her sun and moon were on top of each other in Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
There you go again. So there we go. You get the power of that energy, whether it's being used for negative or positive. You get that Scorpio power, and that was in the seventh house. She sailed through that tournament. I mean, literally sailed through it, you know? So anyway, do we have calls or what is going on?
Yes, there's two people on the dashboard. I don't know, not dashboard.
The dashboard.
There
that's
you
good.
Go. Okay, area code 901. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there, how are you? Welcome.
Hi, I'm fine, how are you all? Thanks.
What's your name?
Do you have music on?
Yeah,
oh,
I just
good.
Came
very
away
good.
From the
Thank
music.
You very much, thank you. Go ahead.
My name is Lanise.
Lanise?
Uh-huh.
How do you spell that?
L-E-N-E-S-E.
Ah, isn't that beautiful?
Yes,
wow, I never heard that name before. And when were you born, Lanise?
July 5th.
Okay.
1963.
1963, okay.
At 9:56
a.m. Where?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Where are you now? Where do you live now?
I'm still here.
You're still there?
Yeah.
It's the name of a movie or something, isn't it? I'm still here. Or is it the name of the song? Which is it?
Well, I don't know.
It's the name
don't.
Of a Ram Dass book that he wrote recently, Still Here.
Oh, really? There
yeah.
you go. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you
yeah,
want to know,
the book.
Well,
it's
you sure should, Lanise.
It's a great book.
Okay.
So you have the sun in Cancer, right?
Exactly.
And moon in Libra. What do you want to know, honey?
Moon in Sagittarius, actually.
July the 5th. Oh, my God. You know what? I went to 65. Thank you very much. I went to the wrong place. Keep me together, Lanise. Okay?
Okay.
Because you know your chart, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I listen to all the astrology shows. I'm really trying to get it.
Well,
a lot
come on.
That
you
don't
have
understand.
To...
I'm trying
well,
to figure
you know
what,
Lanise?
Out.
Lanise, one day it will just all come together. You know what
I'll
I mean?
Be glad. Yeah.
I mean, I was studying. I was studying for 3 years, and I was sitting on a beach somewhere, and somebody behind me said, "Oh, the sun's not supposed to be out today." And I said, "The sun is supposed to be out today because I just got everything. It all clicked." And the guy went, "What?" I said, "I all of a sudden got it all." So, what do you want to know, honey?
Ooh, so much. Let me narrow it down. Let me ask you this. Is there anything that is a fit in my chart that would cause, would stop me from being in a long-term committed relationship with a man?
The moon in Sagittarius could do that. The Venetian energy in Gemini could do that. Now, I'll tell you why the moon in Sagittarius can do that, because your expectations and your visions are so high that the moon in Sagittarius, that unless you find your complete soulmate, they fall off the pedestal. And you go, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. So it may be, and your Venetian energy in Gemini is also, you know, they're not in rapport with me. And Mars in Virgo is very critical. It's critical mentally. The M, Lanise. The one line is mental, the next line is physical, and the next line is emotional. And then the glyph line that turns in is spiritual. So there again, Mars in Virgo is that you grease the pedestal. That, you know, oh, my God, he didn't do that right. Oh, my God, he didn't do that right. So it means basically that if you had your soulmate, that would even be a bigger problem in some ways, because a soulmate, everybody says, I want my soulmate. When you get your soulmate, they really point out everything that you're doing wrong and every wound that you have. So it's like you need to in some way get past the expectations. That's what I would say with this chart.
Okay. What about the seventh house? What's that looking like?
I'm doing these. I don't have my computer up. So what? You tell me what's in the seventh, and I'll tell you. You tell me.
Pisces.
Uh huh. What? What's in Pisces? Just
my
Pisces
seventh.
In the seventh? Okay,
uh-huh,
so
Pisces.
The seventh house of Pisces, what's in Pisces?
Well, actually, it's on my seventh house is actually empty, but it's on the cups of the sixth.
Yeah.
And I was told that means that's what's in the seventh.
Okay.
That's
well, the Pisces perception of reality is that it's the sixth and the seventh. The sixth house is perception of reality. It means that there's a high perception of reality. And then when you look at the rest of the chart with the moon in Sag and the Venus in Gemini and the Mars in Virgo, it means your expectations, again, are very high. And then the Piscean energy is either the hero or the victim. The one side of Pisces is the hero, which we talk about Jesus, and he talked about himself as the teacher, and the teacher and the hero and teaching people. And I mean, the experience of Jesus is the fact that it wasn't the loaves, the many loaves that he turned it into. It was the experience and the teaching that he was teaching, that if you have something and you give it away, it multiplies. So it's the experience of that. On the other side of Pisces is the church philosophy that you have to suffer and you have to crucify yourself and you have to do all of those kind of things in order to be saved. So there's a double interpretation in the Piscean energy. So that's in your seventh house. It's you either get the hero or the victim in a relationship. You either get the teacher or you get the victim. What's on the eighth?
Aries. Jupiter.
Okay,
and
of course. Okay, so the eighth goes into Aries. And the mm-hmm. Aries is that house is where you teach people how to treat you. So then you become responsible for your choices in picking who you picked and how they're treating you. So if you drop your mirror of expectation, if you drop your mirror and you just meditate on love, the experience of love and loving yourself, then you're going to bring in, Lanise, the mirror of love because you have the sun in Cancer. I mean, you're a very loving person. And so if you drop all of the judgments and all within yourself, of course you're going to bring somebody in that will love you. You have Jupiter in Aries. You could do that fast if you really, really decided to make a choice to meditate on the fact that I'm going to love myself as much as I can, and then that's the kind of love I'm going to draw in, okay?
Okay, that makes sense. I'm working on that.
I know you are.
I just want to relax into it and just not be take it so serious. But I knew there was something hindering this process because I've never had the teacher always got the victim.
Well, and if you always get the victim is there to teach you, to be the teacher. So you have to, you have to watch. You have to watch that. And the other thing is about the familiar. You draw in the familiar because sometimes the victim makes you feel superior. And then you're used to that. So you have to say, I'm dropping that. And when you drop the familiar, it becomes very uncomfortable for a long period of time. And then it becomes comfortable and you draw in a different energy. Okay. All right, Lanise.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Dear. Good luck
thank
to you.
Thank you. You'll meet me. I'll mute me. I'll continue to listen and learn.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lanise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, we have. I'm having a computer glitch this evening, so I just want to say that it is. Very slow.
Somebody's singing.
Yeah. So anyway, we have an area code 207 area code, and if we give it a second or two. Yes. Welcome
Hi.
To the show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Dorothy. I'm in Maine, and my birth date is March 22nd, 1948, 12:25 a.m., Portland, Maine. And I don't live in Portland anymore. I live in Blue Hill, Maine.
You do?
Yeah.
Dorothy from Maine. You're not from Oz, huh?
All right. You picked up on that one. Well, I did used to wear my hair like that.
Did you?
My mother used to braid my hair like that.
Did she?
Or sometimes I had the Heidi updo, too.
Really? You sound fun.
Oh, yeah.
You sound like a lot of fun.
I didn't have a dog.
Oh, you didn't have a dog. Okay, you didn't have
no.
a Toto.
No, I didn't have a Toto.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's one. You can get one of those anytime.
Yeah, that would be
wonderful.
Just lovely. With my three cats, they would be just thrilled.
The cats wouldn't like it, would they?
No, especially my oldest male, JJ, would have a fit and a half.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No dog. No dog in his house.
Yeah,
so
I was being very polite.
Your moon is in Leo.
It is?
Did you have your chart
done
before?
Yeah, I guess
before?
It is. What?
I guess it is. Well, you sound like double fire. You sound like a very boisterous girl, you know? What did you want to know? Dorothy,
what did you want to know? About my love life.
Gosh, everybody wants to know about their love life, right?
I know. Yeah. Considering where things have headed at the moment, I'm curious as to what's really going on here. I'm always curious.
Yes, I think you're always curious. Okay, so are you in a relationship?
Nope.
Okay, well, if I look at this, you know, the sun in Aries, which, you know, it's interesting because I just did a chart from Maine with the sun in Aries this week, almost on top of yours, which is interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sun in Aries, you know, it's very, it's, you're almost so out there and so individual and so, you know, and that it's hard for a man to catch up. And then you have, see, and you love it, too. You absolutely love it. Then you have the moon in Leo, which means you've set up a fairly dramatic environment. The moon is what sets up the environment. So that environment is fairly dramatic. So you get bored fast with certain kind of, if a certain kind of men. It has to be a really dramatic show for you to be really interested, Dorothy. And
oh, really?
Maybe you should go to Oz. You probably find him in Oz. Well, you have Jupiter, you know, Jupiter in Sagittarius here is exalted. So the vision, again, the vision of and the expectations of what you want, it's hard for a human male to live up to them.
Oh, wow. And, I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, that's not bad. I
that
mean,
looks
hey,
good.
He's out there. It's just you try to settle at times, and it doesn't work. I mean, Venus
Settling never works.
No, settling never works. And so it just means, you know, with Saturn in Leo, Saturn in Leo is conjunct the moon here. That's a little tough because there are certain rules and regulations that you have that you go by. With a romantic encounter, okay?
Hmm.
But, you know, you need a someone who challenges you, someone who is fairly, that loves what you love, someone who can keep you interested because Mercury in Pisces is very, they want to have an interesting conversation. They want to have an esoteric conversation at times. They want to be taught. They want to learn. They want to be the teacher sometimes. Venus in Taurus, when they love, they really love deep. The Venetian energy in Taurus is, this is my man, this is my stuff. But then it also goes that this is my stuff, and until I really am ready to let you in here, you're not getting in because, you know. And then Mars and Leo is, you know, fairly explosive. I mean, and Jupiter and Sag, all this fire in your chart, Dorothy. And you came across the phone like that right away. I mean, you need to, you know, somebody like Gandhi.
No.
I'm sorry.
This is a funny project. Mistral X by halitosis.
Yeah. Somebody that really... really can, you know, really keep you interested. You need somebody that can handle the force, okay?
Exactly. Yeah, you got to handle the goddess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. See, they're coming right out of your mouth. Right out of your mouth.
I know. I jokingly call myself the Celtic goddess.
Well, that's not a joke, though.
Oh,
you're
right.
Jokingly. You can put that up front, but I'm looking here at the planets here, and that's it, okay? And the other thing is you're leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else. And you go, oh, my God, this is boring. Oh, my God, is this person, you know, you're an individual.
I bore easily.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, individualization, you know, it doesn't keep people out. It draws people to you because they're only the crazy people. You know, I just had this beautiful quote that I took. Blessed are the weird people, the poets, the misfits, the writers, the mystics, the painters, the troubadours, for they teach us to see the world through different eyes. That's Jacob Nordley. I thought that was a great quote, you know.
I agree.
And that's I thought I'd use that tonight, and there you are. So I did use it. And the other thing is, what do you want? What do you want in a relationship? That's a question. What do you want?
What do I want?
Yep. Mm. Well, yeah. What do you want?
Well, yeah. Well, I want something that I've never had before. Somebody that actually knows me that really wants to get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very bizarre, abusive marriage.
No kidding.
Okay, no kidding. Yeah, you should see my ex-husband. I now refer to him as my ex-wife since he had a sex change. It's really lovely.
Well, there you go. That's your chart.
I need a Celtic man who's gonna love me just because I'm me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a carbon copy. I don't want somebody that likes everything I like, but mm-hmm. I want somebody that's really gonna be.
But you
want to
pull back from a man that changes into a woman. You want to pull back from that, right?
Oh yeah, I don't want that again. I realized something because somebody said to me once, you know, figuring out, you know, the men in my life, what the commonality was, and I figured out, I think, in some way or another, everybody lied to me.
Yeah, that's.
I don't think
advice.
I was ever. I don't because when I was married, people looked at me and they thought, oh, this is. You know, this is Reverend O'Donnell's wife. This is Mrs. O'Donnell. Nobody knew who I was because I was an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime after the divorce, I woke up one day and realized that I changed.
Mm-hmm. You pretended to be an introvert.
I was doing that for the bulk
of
my life.
Different sentence there, okay?
Maybe. I know. I was just very introverted for a long time, and then suddenly, whoops, hello, big mouth, shut me up once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of your, it's very interesting because right here, like 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, you know, at 7 years old, your Mars went direct, but it was retrograde up to that point. So you have things, here that switched, like, you know, trying to do this in my head, you know, like in your 20s, where Saturn went direct at late 20s and all. So it means basically that things went direct, that, you know, you were holding things in. So when your Saturn goes direct, but when you get Saturn in Leo like that, you wake up one day and go, what's happening here? You know, what's happening here?
It took me a long time to wake up.
Yeah, well, you know, you were going by a certain set of rules. Saturn goes by a certain set of rules. Saturn has the cross on the top and the moon on the bottom. So a lot of things are repressed and denied in order to keep people in certain situations. And when you have Saturn in Leo, it means it's fairly dramatic. I mean, and as you said, it's very dramatic, the stuff you get into, that you have to repress and deny the whole truth of what really is going on, honey. So you are Dorothy, you know. You should watch the new Alice in Wonderland. I mean, the new, that thing of in relationship as a metaphor to the fact that when Johnny Depp in that movie, Tim Burton's really good, but Johnny Depp says you lost your muchness, you put it away. And that's a real metaphor. Look at the movie metaphorically, that you need to get that back because you have the sun in Aries and the moon in Leo and you're a real maverick, and the Mars in Leo and Jupiter in Sag. You have given that away in many instances, and you've got to reclaim it, Dorothy.
Right.
Okay.
Can I have the Cowardly Lion while I'm at it?
What, dear?
I was joking. I said, can I have the Cowardly Lion while I'm at it? Mm-hmm. It was my favorite.
Sure. Oh, yes.
Sheila, don't forget to draw a tarot card.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Kate. Oh, you've got the Chariot, which is the Cancerian in the Mother Peace thing. It has the moon. You're under protection. If you go on a quest here with your intuition, and just go for it, it means you're under protection to explore now. You're under from the universe to build. You got the Three of Discs to build something new, to make different choices, and to tell your story differently. Telling your story, Shaman of Wands is also walking into a new territory. It means making a choice to tell your story differently, and. Keep out all of the negative stuff, because you will become the reality of the story that you're telling. So you will invite into your environment, why won't that one come out of my mouth? Well, you will invite into your perception of reality, because we do create our reality. I think we create our reality.
Oh.
I really think that now. I've learned that big time. And we create a reality in order to learn things, in order to open us up to different things. And so it says, you know, you got this card, courage, too. Action takes courage, and we often feel like a fish out of water, separated and different from the world around us. But a fish out of water can learn to swim in a new air of consciousness with a new purpose in life. And it's identification with objects and clinging to addictions that keep you feeling alone and separate. It keeps you from finding the source of your power. And I'm not talking about dependency on drugs, sex, alcohol, but addictions like fear of failure or the need for approval or fear of success or fear of desertion. So what you need to do right now is discover your new power and meaning by having the courage to tell your story different and then live up to your power, Dorothy. Okay.
This should be interesting.
It will be. So when the world explodes, I'll know it's you. When I hear that Maine exploded, I'll say, well, that's you, okay?
Yep. All right. Oh, well, I'm public enemy number one in my town anyway, so why not?
Sure. Sure, honey.
Thing. This has been interesting.
Okay, good.
Thanks
Have a
for
great
calling
night.
In. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You, Dorothy.
Okay.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
So then we have a caller whose name here on the switchboard is Athena's Mind. Let me bring that person on.
Athena's
Mind, welcome.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good, how are you?
Can you hear me okay?
I can't. Can you hear her, Kate?
You're cutting out a little bit, so are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm calling from the Hashtag Kingdom Jordan on Skype. So.
You're on Skype, okay.
What's your birthday, Athena?
That shouldn't matter. Really.
Okay. It's May 19, 1968.
May 19, 1968.
You got
okay.
it.
Okay. What's your question, Athena, mine?
My question is, tonight I was out in ancient Dolmen Field here in Jordan to anchor the energy from the stars to this ancient site down to the earth to expel the negative energy for Middle East regarding 9/11. Do you understand?
Whoa.
Can I make a suggestion? Athena, if you would hang up and call back on Skype, it should, this hesitation and all this, it should be fine. If you don't mind doing that, then we can ask that question again. Is that cool?
Sure.
Just hang up and call back on Skype, and then, you know, we can't really hear you so well, and that might just clear up, okay?
Ouch.
Okay, I probably won't be able to get on a show because it's almost over. I'll have to open a new browser. I just closed everything. That's okay. That's okay.
Were you born in the day or the night?
I was born at 12:09 a.m. You just said ask about the stars that I was looking at if you had anything. It's called the Southern Cross.
See, I can't hear you, honey. I only hear every fifth word.
Do you mind just hanging up and call back again? And
okay.
it should really work this next time, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Did you get the question at all?
It was true that it seemed like it felt like a an alien person from another galaxy, which was very interesting in and of itself.
That's what I thought. You both thought the same thing.
But usually when that happens with Skype, and when people just hang up and call back, whatever it was, it was gone. So anyway, my dear, while we're waiting for her to call back, I would say that the advice you gave Dorothy about the courage to be herself. Oh, the addiction thing about the addictions. We commonly think of addictions as being alcohol, drugs, crack, whatever. And those other things are very strong addictions. That's very true.
Fear is very
prevalent. Yeah.
Fear of failure, and then there's the fear of success, which is a big one.
So she's back, so let's get her on. Hello there, Athena.
Hi.
Hello.
Is it better?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Now you're on this planet.
Yeah. tell us your question again, if you would.
Okay. Well, I called in because you're dealing with the stars, and you're also writing about 9/11.
Right, darling.
I'm living in Jordan, and it has to do with the Middle East and 9/11.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I went to my backyard where I have an ancient dolmen field, which is a lot of megalithic structures and old sites. So I went there and just kind of laid upon one of them that drew me in and was connecting the stars to the earth, trying to dispel the negativity regarding 9/11 and the Middle East, you know, the lies and this.
Yes, yes, dear.
And as I'm looking above, I noticed a cross in the sky. So I was looking it up, the Southern Cross. It kept my mind. So I was wondering if there was any messages from that constellation to me.
The cross represents the denial and the repression of many people around what happened in 9/11. The stories, the conflicts, the things that keep us separate as countries and everything else, because Saturn is the cross that represses information and just wants the people in authority to give out information. So what you're seeing is that kind of thing. Were you born in the morning or the night, Athena?
I was born at 12:09 a.m. in the morning.
Okay. So you have May the 19th, you have the moon in Aquarius. And the moon in Aquarius is seeing outside, it's the environment that you see that is outside. It's an individualization of the environment. In other words, your perception of reality is the true perception. If I use a thing where it looks like a pig and it smells like a pig, and somebody says it's a goat, and you came in the room with your chart and said it was a pig, I believe it was a pig, okay? But not everybody wants to believe that. Not everybody wants to. The truth will set you free. So in your meditative state, because you have Mercury in Gemini and Mars in Gemini, you were feeling the truth of the whole thing. And your Jupiter in Leo is Jupiter is the opposite of Saturn. Jupiter is with the glyph of the moon on the top and Saturn on the bottom. So it expands out where Saturn represses. So the point is what are you going to do? It's not the meditation and not your laying there, but it's what are you going to do with the information? Because that you have Mercury in Gemini, and it's what kind of information, you know, are you getting that you're going to spread? So do you know what that is?
Well, yes, I have an idea, but it's so far-fetched. It's just an idea for peace for Syria. I've been really drawn to this, how I could go about it, and you know, my only conclusion is to have all the countries involved around Syria do some kind of prayer and actually involve the world too, but where everybody or as many light workers or people interested are focused on love and dropping your weapons. How I can get that out, I don't know.
Don't put that in the story, Athena.
Okay.
Take those things out of your story. And say, I've been chosen to make that happen, and it will happen through me because it all happens. It always happens with the one in the many that gets the many on board with the one. So you have to say, I don't know, you know, you have to say, I will be shown the way to get it out. I will come in contact with somebody else and I will connect and I will get this out. But if you continue to put in, I don't know how to do it, then that's the reality that you're creating, Athena. And
okay, I know the law of attraction for sure. I won't do that.
Well, it's not all the law of attraction. It's the, you know, it's basically the experience of attraction. I mean, the point was, is, you know, Jesus as a teacher said, you know, the experience of the loaves and the fishes. If he had one loaf of bread, he could expand that into feeding 1,000 people. So there you go. It's not just hearing the teaching. It's experiencing that you can do that because that's what was taught.
Okay. Gotcha.
And it's not just creating your reality. It's experiencing the creation of your reality. That's where people go crazy with the secret and all that. They just go, okay, I did this or whatever. But they don't really create the experience, okay? They don't create the process. What I'm telling you to do, Athena, is create the process. Then you get, okay, the center circle, in you draw a circle and you go, how do I begin this? And then you draw a circle outside of that and you go, what are the three things I'm going to do tomorrow to stretch into the next circle, okay? Then you draw another circle and you go, the next circle out is risk. It's a big risk to do this, but I'm going to do it. And the next circle out is I'm going to contact, this is going to spread, and basically people are going to die to their old ideas and create a new experience. That's the way you work with that.
Okay, well, I've had those ideas, and for the past couple of, I'd say 4 days, I've been feeling very strongly about going to the border of Syria. And my friend just sent me a message that Angelina Jolie is now there, like right now, investigating, doing what I wanted to do too.
Does it matter if Angelina Jolie's there? You go too.
Well, I know that's what I'm going to ask. So now I'm like thinking maybe, you know, I should tomorrow, you know, cruise out there and see if maybe I can connect with her and tell her my idea. Do you see any future with that?
I see Jupiter and Leo here, and if you build it, they will come. If you build the experience, you will meet her. If you say you're going to meet her, you'll meet her. You will connect. You are two human beings that will create energy between yourselves. It's called compositing, and that's what you're supposed to do. So you don't talk about it, you do it. It's, you know, that whole thing with Yoda, you know, do or do not do. There's no such thing as talking about it or trying. It's either do or do not do. And then the last sentence that they don't do in the movie that they don't quote is, if you believe it'll happen, it will happen. Maybe not exactly how you believe it, but whatever journey that you're supposed to go on and how she's drawing you there or how you're being drawn there, on the journey you'll get the answer. I know that.
Okay.
For a fact.
And
because you are a Taurus, you're stubborn.
Yeah, so. I know. And at the top of that Southern Cross, to me, it looked like there was some kind of like a bird. I was kind of seeing like a freeing. Do you have anything on with that? Does that fit into the whole picture?
Yes.
I haven't researched this.
What do birds do?
They fly.
Yes, they do. That's what they do.
Okay.
Birds fly. You have to crack your seat open, honey. The thing, you know, right in the center in astrology, there's a circle with a seat in the center. It's called the God seat. Almost, I would say 80% of the people in their lifetime do not crack the seat in their chart. It means it has to break open. And in order to break open, you have to go through all the earth and all the stones and everything. It has to come up and it has to show itself. And then it becomes vulnerable to the elements and everything else. But the Taurus has the most promise of it growing into a tree. The Taurian energy has the most promise of the seed of all of the astrological signs, Athena.
Okay.
I went to
because I saw a head that looked like a Taurus there too.
Yes. And why do you think you would get this message if it's not for you to do something?
Well,
I don't think...
I get a lot of messages. You know, I'm just, I really, I'm one of those people, I'm a visionary. So I have so many, I just, you know, I don't know which one to do tomorrow. And then I hear this about Angelina Jolie, and I'm like, oh, well, maybe that could be good because, you know, she's famous, and, you know, that's what you need. You need PR to be able to do something like what I want to do, you know.
Mm-hmm. You not only that,
but she would have really appreciated some support because she's often been very alone in her pioneering endeavors.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good... I was kind of thinking since I live only 45 minutes away, I could be mm-hmm. her on the ground woman.
Yes.
Now,
okay.
Sheila, draw a card, please.
Okay, I will. Okay, so you said that you get a lot of visions, but this vision is, I got the visionary card, interestingly enough. It's a purple card. It's a guy sitting on water, a woman sitting on water with birds around him, two birds on either side, giving him a message. He's playing a flute or a recorder, and he's sitting on water, and it's saying, whatever the vision is, you have to act on it. I can't believe you got that.
Isn't that really cool?
Yes. That's really pretty, very intense. And beside that, I got the Ace of Swords. And the Ace of Swords, for me, represents the fact that you're the only one that can pull this sword out of the stone. It's Excalibur. And no one else can do it, not Angelina Jolie, not anybody else. It's your sword to pull out of the stone. It's your destiny. And so your active power is the key to that destiny. It's like this sacred flute player that I'm looking, enticing your truth of spirit out into the light of day now. So own this power because you're made of power, Athena. And an active power comes from a place of passion within your deepest being. So it's an expression of your totality, of who you are in the world right now. So you found your active power in this vision. And what would you do right now if you could do anything? Discover it, and you discovered what that is. So go with your destiny and go for it.
Have either of you seen Angelina Jolie's movie In the Land of Milk and Honey?
Yes.
No.
Gosh, that was so disturbing.
Poignant.
And, you know, it's about
I didn't
women.
See the whole movie, Kate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really, well, it's hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about the rape and pillage of women during the Serbian,
mm-hmm.
Croatian thing and how women were really the victims. And they showed they were following one couple. It was really how many women were raped and so forth. And it was very, very intense. But I think that is your interest in women per se or?
Yeah, women and children.
Okay, well I think then you really have an ally there with Angelina. It's my feeling.
Okay.
Because that's her interest.
I sure hope she stays because I just read that she's been there two nights and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. But it's 3 a.m. here, so.
Good morning.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I'm so happy you called from Jordan. That's really very interesting.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so happy that I connected with you because I needed to know all of that.
Oh, good. Appreciate you too, Athena.
Thank you.
Do it for all of us.
Yeah, do it for
all
of us. Absolutely. Do it for me. Do it for us. For all the women in the world. It's so cool.
And be careful.
I will, and I'll call you back if with a date if you know that I have scheduled for this big peace love powwow.
Good, honey. Okay, be careful, okay?
Yeah, be careful, please.
I will. I'm protected. I have a legion of angels with me, so.
Yes, you have a legion of angels.
And we can send them along as well.
I will.
I'm having a ferocious dog here. I don't know if anybody's heard
of it. Okay, dear Athena, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, honey. Wow.
Okay. I have a ferocious dog here. Just a minute. No!
Hi, Pearl.
Yeah, Pearls is standing up for the ice. Stop it.
Pearl, do not eat your mistress.
She's a puppy. That's for sure.
Yes, she is.
Okay. Let's see, what time do we have here? We have a few minutes left. So do you have any other insights into the election?
I think that we're at a critical time right now. I think this election is really important. I think we don't have the choices of, we have these two choices. That's not, but my feeling is let the man finish what he started.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe he's not doing it to the best of everybody's ability, but I don't know what I would do. I mean, you know, it's, but I don't think we need a new person in there, especially the person with this chart. And I know that Joan Adams, if she's listening to me, is going, woohoo. Okay. Hi, Joan. I love you,
well,
Joan.
I'm not thrilled with any of these politicians,
yeah.
But it is true that, they're all bought and sold. Romney.
Yeah.
Obama, they're all bought and sold. So what are you
going to
do with that?
Well, that's the thing. And this whole voter ID thing, I'm hearing these stories about people that are going in that don't have any money that they're charging to get their voter ID changed. And this one woman that said that she went in and came out and said she paid $13.50 or whatever. And then another woman out there said, you're not supposed to do that, and marched her back in. And the woman behind the counter said, well, she said this. So you have to say a certain sentence so that you don't have to pay the money. And these people,
is,
you know, don't have any money.
Is that in Pennsylvania?
I don't think it's in Pennsylvania. It was told to me by somebody that I was doing their chart. But it's just this whole thing. And then someone at a meeting that I was at on Sunday said, well, you're not going to be able to vote. And I said, why? And they said, because you're going by Mary Sheila now, and you put on your voter registration Sheila, so you better check that. So, and they'll wait till you get there, and then they'll say you can't vote. I was like, but it's on my driver's license, it's on my Social Security, it's on my birth certificate. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It is totally a political thing, and it's totally ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
these poor people that have hardly any money. And can't, you know, and then her husband and her both had to pay that. That's $27.
Why did they have to pay? You're not supposed to pay anything.
They had to pay to get it changed and the woman behind. And then, of course, they went outside and Elizabeth said that they took them back inside. And the woman said, give her the money back. Give them their money back. They didn't say the right sentence.
I'm telling you, that is so bad.
Yeah, it is so, it is very, I mean, we live in America, you know, and then they said the gas prices were going to go back down, and now there's been some kind of explosion, so they're going back. And you know that it's all bullshit. I mean, excuse me, but it is. What if one day everybody just said, we're not going to use gas? Well, not. Boy, you'd see some action then.
Yeah. We're having an environmentalist coming to town. Maybe you can come over to Mazur Gymnasium at the campus, FNM, Franklin and Marshall College. It's Bill McKibben has his 350.org is his website, and he wants people to consider what is your carbon footprint on this earth, and how can we change our behaviors to save the planet. And it has to go up from the grassroots, but these politicians aren't listening to us. And it's really pathetic, and I'm very sad about it.
Well, it's a sad situation because if we don't have a planet, we don't have life.
Yeah.
And
that's,
I mean, you can't
exactly
tell
right.
me that this, I mean, it's experiential now, the global warming. Come on, it was like off the charts. I mean, off the charts this summer. I mean, you're not saying, and then somebody's saying to you, oh, well, that's not global warming. Well, I'm pretty hot, you know.
It was very hot.
It's pretty warm, and it's going to get warmer next year. So don't wait till it's too late. Which, you know, I'm going by the angels. I hope they...
That's what I say. We just have to pray. So we've come to the end of our beautiful 60-minute program here, my dear. And I'm going to play Klaus C. Jensen, Music for Mother and Child.
All right. And everybody go watch You Think You Can Dance.
Love you all.
Finals tonight. Okay. I love you, Kate.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Angel.